you're live.
All right, live on Discovery Paranormal. We're going to talk about hypocrisy again, man, because I just can't get off the religious thing. And then when people talk to me about religion, I tell them that, you know, religious doesn't necessarily mean spiritual, and it's really what you get out of that religion. I'm not going to bash anyone's religion necessarily, you know. I am going to talk about the news, and apparently there are Catholics out there upset with the Catholic Church because of all the stuff going on. And then, you know, here you have an organization, organized religion, like the Catholic Church, who has a strict set of rules, values, if you can call them that, you know, and whatever, you know, they got their hodgepodge of nonsense. We'll call it that for now, you know, without insulting anyone. We'll call that for now. But where is the spirituality? And that's what I want to know. And then where do you find that spirituality? And I got this friend, Paul, right? He's this cool dude, pretty righteous. I knew him from my old town, Rockville Center, Long Island, when I was younger. And he was really big in the Southern Baptist Church, right, in Queens, you know. So he invited me right on Springfield Boulevard. He's like, you got to come. You know, every time he saw me, you got to come. And he didn't say, like, you're going to go to hell. Or you're going to burn in hell, like everybody else said to me all the time. He said, like, you know, come hang out, check it out. He's like, I bet you have a good time. You know, so I go in there. Everybody's dancing. Everybody's prancing. It's Southern Baptist, man. They're singing. They're doing their thing. And it was fun because it was a uplifting experience, you know. Spiritually, you benefit by something like that because you're not just sitting there being preached at. Yeah, there's a preacher. Yeah, he's going to say all kinds of stuff. And then most of the time, if you look in the Southern Baptist churches anyway, you're going to find some very real preachers who actually see life for real. And I think that in itself is the problem with organized religion, because if it comes down to somebody else's interpretation, then what does it mean for you? And what if you hook up with someone who has an awful, you know, interpretation of what the Bible means or what the Torah means or the Quran or any of these other things? You know, I mean, really, it all becomes a distorted mess. So if you go to a church, let's say you go to Ma and Pa Kettle Church, upstate New York, middle of nowhere, you know, and then there's a reverend in that church who's always been there. You know, he's going to know the people in his community. Maybe the guy grew up in that community and then doesn't know people from other communities and is not really wise to the world, because I know a lot of these people I've met are not worldly. And by worldly, I don't think, you know, you even necessarily have to leave a place, but you have to experience people. You know what I mean? People from different places, different cultures, different backgrounds. And then also understand different grief and strife, you know, because that's where people fall to their knees and put their hands together and pray, is when they're in those situations, you know. And it's unfortunate that people on the higher end don't necessarily pray like that. They might pray for other things, you know, things that are affecting their life. But we're talking about that in itself is a physical realm compared to a spiritual realm, but it affects your spirituality, right? So, but that Southern Baptist, I mean, the guy there, he knew what he was talking about. People there had a good time. Everybody was very nice. Everybody was very happy, very accepting of me being there, even though I was kind of, you know, a little out of place in a place like that at that time, especially for me. You know what I mean? Long hair, leather jacket, and whatever, you know, my long leather coat, and I kind of looked like whatever, you know? Mafia came to dinner, but basically that was me, you know. And that people, you know what, if I walked into a lot of situations, those people would not be accepting, and I've done it, and that's why I know, and I can say that, you know. So it's a matter of trying things out. And when I was on a quest for religion, when I was 11, 12 years old, I was thinking of just what's the answer, you know? I mean, you look at the world. It can be really horrible at times. It can be good at times, too. You know, it is certainly a battle between one to the other. But then people, like, will preach the devil at you. The devil did this. And it seems like a likely excuse for people to act poorly to one another, saying the devil made them do it. I remember Jimmy Swaggart, who was a television evangelist, right, who got caught with hookers, and he got caught with drugs and alcohol, drunk, driving a lot, whatever. So you think he'd be done, a dude like that, right, in his church. Very, big television preacher. This was a day and age of Jim Baker and people like that. People scandalous, you know, did terrible things. You know, I mean, these people were bad people, period. And then they were big and they had followers. And those followers gave them money to do all these things. But when he got busted with hookers and doing all these things, you know, he went on his television show with his people and I have sinned. And he cried the fake crocodile tears and the whole bit. And people forgave him. And that was the spiel that he used, the Lord and forgiveness and whatever. You know what? It's about you don't dupe people. And yet, you know what? We all make mistakes in the world, but you don't betray people like that. And then there is an evil out there, and that's part of that evil, you know? It's not about hookers. It's not about drugs. It's not about alcohol. It's about who you say you are and what you really are, and we are what we do. So when I look in these at the news every day, I'm watching the news, obviously, because I do a news show, you know, Monday through Friday, plus a show on Saturdays here on UPRN, Michael Angley Live. And then I do this, Discovery Paranormal, where we talk about everything paranormal, you know? And then part of that paranormal world, spiritual world, is also the church, you know what I mean? And then when I look at these stories, you know, like just the last one, I mean, like almost every week, there's a horrible story comes out about the Catholic Church, you know, and then it's a pet peeve of mine because I listen to the Pope preach and then I watch what they do, and what they do is not what they preach, you know, and then that amounts to just a warehouse full of hypocrisy for me. It's so blatant. And then here we are, I'm watching this dude, bang. George Pell, you know, accused of raping children for all those years. And now he just went back to Australia to face the charges, right? Pope said he's going to stand by them or whatever. And it's like, instead of saying, hey, I'm going to stand by you, I'm going to watch what's going on. I'm not going to stand by him. I'm going to stand by the victims, the alleged victims, because obviously those people, if they're coming forward and they're saying these terrible things have happened to them, and think about men especially, very hard for them to admit that they were raped. They're, you know, when they come forward and they say these things, at no other time do they need guidance. Do they need that assurance, that foundation of the religious organization that they supported? Right? Instead of the Pope saying he's going to support a alleged child molester, how about you support the alleged victims? Because what, all right, he's saying then, so then the Pope is saying they're all lying, that these over 100 victims over 30 years are all lying. And that's probably 3 or 4 or 5% of the truth when it comes to these people, these predators, these molesters, right? So anyway, think about the concept. If you're saying all these people are lying, then they especially need help. They need that Catholic Church, because that's what they're doing, right? They're guiding people and then supposedly spiritually guiding, but no. So it's not. It's a corporation. It's a business, and they have to protect that business and protect their interests. You will not get spiritual guidance there unless you do something about it and initiate that spiritual guidance, and that's kind of the way it is. You're better off going to those machines that you put a dollar in, and they kind of tell your fortune. You kicks out and talk to that thing instead. Or how about you don't need that building, and then think beyond it and go out there in nature and then pray and then talk to God, because then you really don't need anybody in between. And that's the deal. And if you read anything, read the Bible, all these religious texts all say the same thing from the get-go, where God says, put no one before me. That means your relationship with God is complete. It has nothing to do with the preacher or whatever. It's nice if you want an uplifting message. If you go like that Southern Baptist Church, I would go back there again. I didn't, but because my life took a different course. But I would go back there again if I was in that area, especially. I'd go back there again because it was uplifting. If I needed that, then that's where I would go. And it also gives you a nice sense of community, you know. But unfortunately, we have organized religion that is more concerned about the bottom line than about your spirituality, right? So where do you find that spirituality? I mean, I know people that find spirituality in a lot of things. I know people do Wicca. I know people that practice all kinds of other, what you would call pagan religions, which to them is not pagan at all. To them is what they do, right? So what does it matter, your path up the mountain? You know what I mean? As long as you get there, and I think that that's the essence of that. As long as you're not you know, dirtying the path for other people, right? So I think that when you get in touch with that spiritual world, you could be anywhere, you know, but maybe some places might get in the way of that. So, but what does the Catholic Church do for your spirit? What does any church do for your spirit? You know, it's supposed to be the message. So you go in there, the preacher has, you know, a passage or a few passages of the Bible that they're going to read from, maybe tell a story. You know, in the Native American world, the shaman, they tell stories, healing stories, medicine men healing stories, about just people's lives, and then, you know, triumph and sometimes defeat, and sometimes people were defeated and then they found positive things from that. They learned from that, right? So I think that that is positive. It's also positive for your physical and spiritual self, right? But they don't demand money from you, which is interestingly enough. And I watch that money trail, you know, and I worry about it. When I look at a place like, an organization like the Catholic Church, I feel that they're very hardcore with money, and they put money before anything else. And now you see all these lawsuits being paid out to these, you know, people who were molested by these priests over the years. I mean, so many, you know, and they're paying out billions of dollars, essentially, you know, to, you know, all over the world to people. So I think that if you're part of that, that dirty, nasty, lowly part of it is attached to your religion, you know, and they say that they're there for Christ, but yet what they do is the opposite of what a Jesus would even do if you know anything about Jesus Christ at all. You know what I mean? And I think that he was the one who even said that, you know, churches are a bad thing. So here we have it. What do you do to fix the situation? You know, because there's a lot of Christians out there, and then there's a lot of Catholics out there. There's 50 million Catholics in the United States of America. Maybe 10% of them will go to a church maybe once during the year, and then they'll support. The church expects a tithing of at least 10 to 20% of your income, which is hard, almost impossible for a lot of people who are just working class people. So then it becomes a money game, you know, but the structure, the church's structure, and a lot of these religious organizations, their structure is against free will. And that is against God, because God gave you that free will. So why would you be born with free will and then give it up because of an organization wants you to, because they have interpreted something that may be interpreted the wrong way, you know, their misinterpretation, because there's a lot of flaws in you know, what they do and how they present themselves. So last week, again, you know, so we had George Pell 2 weeks ago, Cardinal, big deal, big muckety-muck advisor to Pope Francis, right? Then what happens this week, a gay orgy, the Vatican police had to break up a gay orgy and a drug-filled orgy. They went into this apartment that was owned by the Catholic Church. And then it's actually part, it belongs to the department that investigates, sexual misconduct, which is kind of funny, since that's where the sexual misconduct was going on, you know. But here you have a lot of priests who are having sex with one another and doing drugs and the whole bit. So is it flawed? I mean, you know, is it okay for someone not to you know, to give up what they are biologically, for nuns not to ever have sex, for the men never to have sex, and then, you know, repress that, all that? I remember when I was a kid, and we had the archdiocese in our town, Rockville Center, Long Island, you know, and it was a pretty big deal, actually, because they controlled an awful lot, as you can imagine, right? So anyway, I remember, like, having conversations with my family about the church, you know, and my grandmother, who was Catholic, would always go there, and I'd go there with her sometimes. My mom, who went to Catholic school, would never have put me through Catholic school. She had a terrible experience, you know, and that's how you're shaped, and she had never went back either. So, obviously, you know, she had her opinions, but when I talk to people about Catholicism and then what it means to them and you know, whether they're Catholic or not, it's really interesting with the whole, the child molestation thing stands out. You know what I mean? It's huge. And then one of the biggest offenders that got sent up was this priest from Rockville Center Archdiocese. So my father used to own a repair shop, and then he would, like, you know, service the cars from the archdiocese. They would bring their cars there. And then, you know, they had an account for gasoline and stuff like that, too. So whatever. And this guy would always come in. He was really creepy, man. Really creepy. As a matter of fact, he, like, wigged out on me one time because, you know, all the priests there would drive a Mercedes. And then all the nuns would have, like, a nice new Chevy or a Buick or something like that. But the priests would always have a Mercedes. And then it was a conflict because I had asked my mom one time, you know, what does it take to be a priest? And she said, well, you have to give up sex, give up money, basically give up all that. And then you go and live there and you're part of the whole thing. I was like, you know. And then when I saw this priest driving a Mercedes, it just, you know, was a conflict in my mind because I know a Mercedes was a very expensive automobile. So then I asked that priest, I said, you know, if you take a vow of poverty, how can you have such an expensive automobile like a Mercedes? And this guy got so pissed off at me, man, yelling and screaming. And, you know, I told my father, you know, you should discipline that boy. He's disrespectful to God, you know, disrespectful to God, you know, God driving a Mercedes. You know what I mean? Jesus having Mercedes? No. You know, Jesus had sandals, and that's how he's getting around. He didn't even have a donkey. And these guys are driving a Mercedes, and they're in the lap of luxury, and then they're preaching at people. And then he's the same guy that got sent up for sexual molestation for I think he got 16 years. So the reality is, doesn't that take away from the spirituality or spiritual message of the church? Is that an abomination for any kind of spiritual growth? You know, so that is an interesting question. But when you tell people that they have to biologically shut down and then they can't be, in essence, what they were created to be, then that's going to put a huge stumbling block and a problem. And then think about this. Sexism, racism runs rampant through that organization. Do you think Jesus was down with that? Sexist, racist, any of that stuff, you know? How about the fact that Pope Francis said that a woman will never be a priest? I mean, that's pretty big for coming from a guy that talks about, you know, gender biased issues all the time and how women are suppressed, they're held down and whatever. Oppressed, really? They're oppressed, but in your own organization, you're going to oppress them, you know? So he tells Trump, walls are bad, you know, for border control. But you yourself live behind a wall. You know, guns are bad to have them for security. But you yourself have guns. You own a munitions factory and Beretta firearms and are protected with people with machine guns. So it's a conflict. And that conflict doesn't represent a good spiritual self, you know? And I think that me personally, there are organizations that I had joined in the past that I left because their message was contrary to my own. So why should I support an organization like that with my time, my money, my life, right? For what? What do I get out of it? And I think a lot of people are just kind of brainwashed and they're brought right along. They grow up in these families who are religious families and that's all that they know. And sometimes they when they get in the teenage years and people start thinking about how do things work in the world? Why do things work in the world? And, you know, if there's a God, why there's so much trouble? Why there's so much strife? And, you know, why are there all these wars and all these terrible things going on? And it's you know why? I'll tell you why. It has nothing to do with organized religion. It has to do with the battle between good and bad, good and evil. And that's really what it is. And it's that damn simple, you know, of waking up every day and then trying to live your life and survive every day with your family, the people around you, your loved ones, and then making them safe and giving them some kind of security, having that confidence to do so, and then just kind of going forward and being the best person that you can be and let that fountain of virtue in your heart explode, you know, let it flow from you and let people see that and let people follow that lead. See, that's spiritual growth. And that gives other people spiritual growth. It's not stagnant. And then it's a daily, it's a daily battle because we look out there in the world and we look at places like North Korea and how the people are suffering. We look at people in Africa and see how many years have people suffered. We look at our homeless problem in America, then we're inviting in refugees because it's this big political smeg fest, you know? So there are things that we have done and failed in the physical realm that hurt us in the spiritual realm. And then I think that if we support something, the thing that we support should listen to us, should listen and take guidance from the things that we need as people, and then we can help the world. You know what? In the U.S., once we're on solid footing, we can help the world. If we're not, if we're knocked down, if we're lying there, we can't help anybody. And I think that, in essence, gives spiritual growth to other people when you help them in that physical sense, right? So, but think about this. Church scandals and all that other stuff, that takes away from the message, you know? And then at that point, you resign. At that point, you close shop. At that point, but well, they can't close shop because they're the Catholic Church. They can't go out of business. You know what I mean? They're not going anywhere. They're worth trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars. The church has money that you can't even imagine. They got more money buried than Hillary Clinton could even dream about. But think about this. When things get dark, where do you go? When you're at your lowest and things get dark for you, what do you seek out? Everybody seeks something different, man. Some people seek out a bottle of booze. Some people seek out some bud. Some people seek out to self-medicate. Some people seek out some kind of guidance. But is it spiritual guidance or is it physical guidance? And it depends on what you're going through at the time. But let's say you go to a church. You walk inside. There's a priest hanging around. You know, I mean, you go and talk to that priest. They're supposed to give you some kind of guidance. But if they've been a priest all their lives, and not all of them have, you know, some of them kind of go in later in life because they want to share some life lessons, and that's a whole different issue. Then it's subjective. But those people are still supporting the structure, and that structure is still tainted. And upon in that taintedness, you are not going to get any kind of real guidance from that structure, because that structure in of itself is an abomination. So, but think about the priest who went in early on, 18, 19, 20 years old. You're there all your damn life. You don't really see anything or do anything. You know, maybe some of them get, you know, go around the world and they help in doing different things. Mother Teresa was with the AIDS babies in Africa, washing their feet, you know, doing all kinds of great things. They still have never put her on the same level as any of these fat cardinals that sit around doing nothing all their lives but basking in riches, right? So, I mean, but that's part of their structure, and their structure is flawed, and I think we already know that about them. But the reality is, when you go to them, it's going to be hit and miss. So why bother? You know, why bother taking a chance? It's church roulette. If you have a problem, you go in there, they can make your problem worse, man. And the only thing they're concerned about is taking the money from your pocket. Really? Really? You know, I've been there. I know what they do. And that collection plate goes around, and they urge you to give and give and give. Where does the money go to anyway? They own a munitions factory. It's more than what I got. I don't own a munitions factory. Do you own a munitions factory? You know, the church bank owns practically half the world. They have a ton of power. So how does that help people spiritually? You know, I don't know. They have people who are starving right on the Church of the Vatican. So do you see that problem? Do you see a problem in that? I do, and I always have. And this is why I told that priest what I thought about his Mercedes, man. Because, and keep in mind, and I was like eight, I think, maybe 8 years old, 9 years old, really young. I always spoke my mind. You know, I mean, I was always encouraged. The family that I grew up in was a loudmouth Italian family, basically. And then, you know, it really is. You know, I got some Slavic in me too, and they're not quiet either, and also Native American. But I'll tell you this, man. You know, you grow up around Italians, you don't hold anything in. And then these people were immigrants. They were into the news. You know, my whole block was Italian. In fact, most of the block was one family, and they were into the news. Everybody had it on the radio. Everybody talked about it all the time. And that news, like CNN or Fox, like that magazine news, nonsense, fake news, whatever you want to call it. You know, their little cherry-picking news stories. I'm talking about the news. This is what happened. This is what whatever. And they don't sit there and pontificate for an hour on what, why, and what leak was what, and what, where, what. You know what I mean? So it comes down to that. And I think that when you are in that world, you are controlled. You know, it's like the mafia. You know what I mean? Once you're in, you're in. You're controlled. I'd like to see Jehovah's Witnesses, man. All right. they come door to door. And then I have a friend, 12, 14 years ago, whatever. They were down on their luck. They had just went through a bad stretch. And then, bang, here comes these Jehovah's Witnesses knocking on the door. And, hello? Hi, have you heard about Jesus Christ? Have you heard about Jesus? I like Jesus. Jesus? no, Jesus. You know what I mean? Like Gouda? Like some blue cheese? Something like that? No, Jesus. Yeah, Jesus. I love Jesus. You know what I mean? Little crackers, little champagne Gouda. You got some of that? No, Jesus Christ. Yeah. And then they want to, control your life. They got into this person's life. They started forking over money to them, doing the whole bit. And then, they close you off because you join their group. And then you're part of, they're strengthening their numbers is what you're doing. You're making their organization more powerful. You are joining. You're giving them your funds. You're giving them your life, basically. And then they tell you, you're loved. We love you and whatever. And then they surround you. And then you end up relying on them emotionally. And that's kind of how they get you in there. And we call that cult religions in one way, because there's always a dominating force within those organizations that basically tells you you're going to go to hell if you don't listen to us and that type of thing. And then sometimes it even fragments families. I've had a family member that was Jehovah's Witness, and then that controlled his entire life. And then if you weren't down with them, you were going to hell. And then if you were going to hell, they didn't want to know from you. So basically, they're forcing you to make a decision, saying, well, if I still talk to you, you're going to go to hell. But if I stop talking to you, then you're going to be saved. So it's whatever, man. So I'll stop talking to you, bro. This way you can be saved and go to heaven, and I'll be in hell. At least I'll know a lot of people. You know what I mean? I won't be lonely, at least. But it comes down to a whole bunch of weirdness, too. And then the ritual comes into place. Lao Tzu, ancient Chinese philosopher, man, basically the guy who laid down the law when it came to Taoism, right? He said a lot of intelligent things, and he was pretty wise for everything that was going on, especially at that time, and then understanding. He was keeper of the archives. So if you're going to be keeper of the archives, you get your hands on a lot of knowledge and information. So Lao Tzu, he'd basically tell people to, pray in private, mask your brilliance. And there's a lot of things that he used to say that, you don't journey off your path. And, people do. People love to get distracted, and people love to journey off their path and get stuck, So, I don't know. I think that there's a lot of philosophers you can look at. You can look at Jesus Christ, said a lot of amazing things. You can look at other people, from earlier from him. Joseph and all those people. Moses, laid down the law. They say Moses used to go up Mount Sinai and get loaded, man, and get high. And then, talk to God and the whole bit. So, I think that there's a lot known. How about this? We don't know what's going on today with the news, right? Obviously, since that people make things up as easy as anything. They just make up the story. So going back 2,000 years ago or 2,500 years ago or 3,000 years ago and looking at different cultures and how they did their thing, the only thing we can do is judge them by what they did, right? So then you say, okay, are we better off today physically and spiritually than people from 2,000 years ago? And the question is yes and no. Yes in some places, no in other places. No in Botswana, there are people drinking mud water, in Ethiopia, the whole bit. In a lot of countries, not just there, all around the world, you're going to find abject poverty in such a rich world. At the same time, there are people running around in loincloths and still eating zebras and things like that. In South America, people are wearing loincloths, and there's groups of cannibals running around. And you don't want to hang out with people like that because it gets a little complicated, I guess, when you're hanging out with a cannibal. So it really is an interesting world. And I think that the way to lead democracy is through a physical and spiritual relationship, right? Which you're not going to find from organized religion necessarily, And I think that the ones that are out there are kind of leeches. They just get in the way of what people should really be in essence, and they give you a bad idea of what's going on. You know, it's like exorcisms are up, you know, and I read these stories all the time. There's a lot of them going on, and I've seen exorcisms that were real. I've seen exorcisms that were bunk. I've seen people's faces change and distort. You know, what? No matter what was going on, they believed it. And the people in that room believed it. The people doing the exorcism believes it. The Catholic Church believes it, since they have several people, hundreds, I believe, over 800 priests that actually do these exorcisms. Right now, there's a demand of 500,000 exorcisms, you know? Sometimes, or I'd say maybe a lot of times, it's mental illness. And back in the day, that was kind of the thing, you know? I mean, if someone was wigging out in their village, they would have someone come and do an exorcism, and then hopefully that would help the person out. Do I believe in it? I do believe in demonic possession. I believe in possession. How's that? And negative influence. And I think that the things that I've experienced as a paranormal investigator, there's a lot of stuff out there, just pure energy, pure emotions. And then when you're in a place, especially a place, a building, a house or whatever, where something terrible had happened, that emotion is there. And that vibe is there. That vibration is there. That feeling is there. But I have seen, you know, there was a show I was watching a long time ago about people who are mentally ill and they're in prison, right? And then I'm watching this dude. He's on there being interviewed. Looks like a nice guy. He was a multi-murderer. He's sitting there, looked like a nice guy, whatever. He blames the murders on an alternate personality that's inside of him. And he said he had a few personalities. So then the television reporter was like, you know, can I speak to that person? He had a specific name, like Dwayne or whatever. Can I speak to Dwayne, you know? And then he's like, well, you don't, I don't think you want to talk to him. You know, he's not really good. No, I want to talk to Dwayne. And this guy's face, when he became that, completely changed. His eyes, his face, I mean, like, just his essence completely changed. His voice changed, his everything, the way he sat in a chair changed, you know? So is it easier to believe that in our brains, that something like that can just exist, that, you know, and all the impulses in our brains, and they're so complicated, and scientists are just not even scratching the surface on studying people's brains. Is it easier to believe that that is a scientific thing that's going on in his brain, or is it a spiritual thing happening within him? And if you know anybody, you know, I've never really known anybody personally that had multiple personalities, even though I kind of have said that to people jokingly. But, I mean, really multiple personalities, but I've seen it. I've seen it on Discovery Channel. I've seen it around. And it seems to be like there's more than one person in there. So in the spiritual realm, you know, is there a rule that if you have a body, that body can only host one spirit at one time? And I think that that's an interesting thing to investigate, because there's a lot of it. If people can be so-called possessed, and I have seen that, I've seen people take on, I've seen mediums who are very open, very sensitive, take on the energy of the entity of the place that we were in. You know, to the point where they had to go out and ground themselves. And then they still didn't feel quite right for days, maybe a week from that point on. So I think that if that can happen, then a similar thing can happen to somebody, you know, who says that it can't. I mean, like, until you disprove it, you kind of have to think that it's true, right? Or it could be true anyway, plausible, right? So back to the question, though, when things get dark,
Hi, I'm Joe Montaldo, and you're listening
to me. What evil is allowing hate to rule your life, you know? It's allowing that hate. And now, I think the exorcisms are up, and all these people are wigging out around the world because there's so much of a breakdown in the world. You know, a financial meltdown in Europe right now. You know, there are scandals upon scandals, and not just the Catholic Church, but all these businesses, all these organizations. It seems like everything's peeling apart, and then you get this whole thing here in the U.S. with Trump, and then you have this division, but the division is not as intense as people think it is. It's out there because the media is driving it. So if you have a handful of people, and that handful of people is the media, they can create a lot of trouble for somebody, and they can go out there and poison people's minds and kind of lead them along this horrible path. But then people allow hate to rule their lives. And I know people, just regular old people, who never even were all that political to begin with, are like just angry and pissed off, and they want to see this person pay and that person pay and whatever, and whatever side. Not just angry at Trump, but angry at everybody. People angry at Hillary, angry at Obama. And then I'm like, you know what? I get into it, man, because this is what I do, you know? And then I like to get into the whole. It's like a movie to me, a soap opera kind of way. And then also I get a lot of like dark comedy out of it. You know, when I see Trump tweeting, and he's such a funny dude to begin with, you know, and I know that he's just this crazy clown, and I like the fact that he's there because he's his own comic relief. You know what I mean? But nonetheless, there's a lot of spiritual stuff guided towards his direction. And then there are people out there who are having, you know, like Wiccans who are getting together, putting spells on them, whatever. Now, how bad could things get when you got everybody against you? Even the witches are putting spells on you. How bad do you get? I don't know, man. I think that's pretty out there. But instead of these people spending their time putting good vibes out there, saying, I want him to do a good job. I want the world to, you know, America to prosper, the world prosper, and then I want everybody to be happy and blah, 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 and solve the problems with the war, and then, you know, help people who are ill and the whole bit. All that, instead of all the good stuff, these people are focused on the bad. And then that's why they fail. And they have divided themselves. And they've allowed parties to pull them apart. Like chicken, you know, like a fried chicken. Just pull them apart, and then here they are. Here's a leg over here. There's a thigh over there. Oh, look, there's a wing. And then, bang, these people have no idea that they're being controlled, and they're out there. Some of the statements are just off the wall. And then I think spiritually in this country and the world, you have this flow of negativity. And that's why you have exorcisms up. And that's why you have this demonic possession. I think people are opening doors, you know. And then once you get all that negative vibe going, you know, other negativity just kind of links right up to it. So it's best to laugh and keep things light and kind of even make fun of them, make fun of the whole situation, you know. So, but I don't know. You know, there's a lot of stuff that's out there that we don't even know, but there's a lot of evidence, too, that we could put together and look at it. And not every situation is different, especially the paranormal world. But you can't have, when it goes back to the church, you can't have an organization that looks down on other people. You can't have an organization that is historically racist and sexist. You know, they can't change because they're living by a word that they believe in, but they're not living by the meaning that they should be believing in. You know what I mean? So if they can't change, they can't evolve. You know what? You know who the sad sack is? The person who looks back at themselves when they were 18 saying, man, I haven't changed a bit. I'm great. Whatever's great then. You know what? Because in life, we learn things. In life, we change constantly. We're constantly changing. We are the same core person within ourselves, but we're constantly changing. We're constantly growing. We're constantly looking for more knowledge and receiving more knowledge and understanding that we're constantly having relationships with other people and dealing with other people, whether they are successful or whether they fail. And we learn from all of that. That's evolvement. And then that's, you know what? That's a progressive, man. That's evolvement. And you want progress. You want progress. So, but if you can't change, you can't evolve. And then you can't preach limitations on growth. You know what I mean? It's spiritual binding. So when you have an organization that says constantly, you can't, no matter what that is, you know what? You can't be gay. Or you can't be gay, really? So, but you're going to take those people, and those are the feelings that they have, and that's what they feel that they are inside, and you're going to tell them that they shouldn't feel those things because it's wrong, because the church doesn't think so, you know? So that's just weird to me. And once you get into that physical realm of preaching what you can't do and can do with your body, and then the church is so weird. Even the church, you know, with condoms, and you can't use condoms because if you use condoms, that stops a baby from being born and all these other things. So it's that mentality that has caused a lot of trouble over the years around the world. And I think that people need to be enlightened, find and seek enlightenment, and grow beyond that organization. You know, go to your church, support the church, but grow beyond what's there. And then when you take that growth back to that church, you tell those people there, and then maybe you can educate the people there, you know, but they make a business out of doing what they're doing, and they're not likely to change. So the people that are seeking out evolvement, the church doesn't want any part of that. You know what I mean? Just like in public school, when you're different, you know, and you're outspoken, and then they're against you, and they label you that class clown. And that was me, totally, 110%, you know. I mean, like, always getting sent to an office, always getting sent to something or other. Oh, you know, big mouth and whatever. But I had questions, and I had questions the teacher couldn't answer, and I wanted to know. And I had knowledge from my family, too, about the war, for instance, World War II, because they fought in the war. I have knowledge from what was going on, you know, globally, because we always discussed it. We always talked about it. I was well informed. So when I read something that was written in a text from, you know, the late 60s or mid 70s, I knew that thing was wrong. And here they are teaching people this, and those people are going to be learning something wrong. That's a problem. And I think we find that in a lot of organized religion. We find that in a lot of places that are just saying, hey, you know what? Evolvement is bad. And I know rabbis who will sit there, laugh with you, joke with you, have a good time. And if we talk like this, we'll not condemn that whatsoever, because they're more spiritually centered and spiritually aware than you can even imagine, which I like about it. You know, I liked Judaism when I looked into it. It was interesting. I even have family members who are Jewish, but it was still the ritual, and then the restrictions didn't meet with my spiritualness and what I wanted to get out of it. You know what I mean? And then, you know, Lao Tzu said that ritual was the beginning of confusion. You get that? So I totally understand that. It is absolutely the beginning of confusion. And when people get into all these weird ritualistic things, you know, it could be fun. You're playing a game or whatever. The Wiccans, they like to dance around naked. I'm all for that. You know, I'm all for anything that promotes good. I'm against anything that promotes negativity or bad. And when I see this world, I know what's evil. I know what has to be destroyed. And then I know a path to get there. But then I look at world leaders, and I feel like they're not on board for any of that. You know, so talk about getting in the way of spiritual growth. So, you know what? It all goes back to Abraham, right? Before Muslims, before Catholics, before any of that stuff. So if it all goes back to one source, no matter how many rivers spring out from that one source, all those rivers are still going to flow back to the sea, you know? And I think that people need to take that and run with it. People need to take that spirituality and use it. People need to take those stories and learn from them. And people need to have growth in their lives. That's the most important thing. Otherwise, you're stuck in the mud, and you don't want to be stuck in the mud. So I'm going to end the show on that note. This is Michael Angley on Discovery Paranormal on United Public Radio Network, UPRNTalkRadio.com, 107.5 New Orleans, and 104.7 in Paz Christian, saying good night.
Ow, it's Wolfman Jack.
There you go.
Let us out of there. Okay, I'm back.
That was good. It was fun. It was real.
So, hey, where'd your co-host go?
I'm getting more hate mail from Catholics.
I was not the co-host. It was a joke, but I do want to say a bunch of different things. So we're two or three years together in my name. That's Old Testament. There are five different models of the church. One, yes, baby.
Is there somebody talking?
That's really tearing your ass up, apparently, buddy.
Does somebody ask somebody a question? I don't remember asking.
Oh, you be at school, it sounded like to me.
I don't remember asking.
Kick his ass. I agree with you in terms of the thing.